So James 1, just verse 5 to verse 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And then from Matthew chapter 7, and verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Although quite literally it's this. Keep asking, and it will be given you. Keep seeking, and you will find. Keep knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And then one final passage in Mark 10, and we can stay there, because that's going to be mostly this morning. Mark chapter 10. And verse 46. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and said, call him here. So they called the blind man and saying to him, take courage, stand up, he is calling for you. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. And I suppose if there's a theme for this morning's talk, it is receiving from the Lord. Receiving from the Lord. But first of all, it has to be said that we have in God a God who is a generous giver. We're celebrating Christmas at the moment. And of course there's that verse, I think in Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9. Thanks be to God for his indescribable or unspeakable gift. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, of course. Words can't express, really, how thankful we are to God for what he has done for us in Christ. He's given us his Son, our Saviour, so that you and I would not have to face the penalty of death eternally ourselves, but could come into that relationship with him. There's no lack on the part of God when it comes to giving. There is no lack on the part of God when it comes to giving. He will always seek to give what we need. And always, generously, I would say. So God gives life. You and I are here with physical life this morning. He's given us life. I don't know where you think where your life came from, but the Lord has given you life. And he can take your life away. The Lord has given us new life in Christ if we are his this morning. He's given us faith and repentance. So that we can come to him and know him for ourselves. You can't work up repentance and faith yourself, friends. Of course you have to cooperate with God. And be willing and wanting of that. But it's God who works this in you and gives it you. And we read in that passage, James 1, God giving wisdom. I'll just go back to there a second. James 1. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously. Isn't that wonderful? God isn't sort of tight-fisted, can I put it that way? He gives generously. That is the heart of God, friends. This is the heart of God toward us. He gives generously. And then it's wonderful. And without reproach. Because if God was looking for perfection, he wouldn't be able to give anything to you and I. God isn't a nitpicker. He isn't going to go around and say, oh, well, he doesn't have his view on end times correct. He's not going to get anything off me. God isn't like that, friends. You and I might be like that sometimes. But God isn't like that. We don't have to have all our T's crossed and our I's dotted. Because we have a God whose heart is generous. And he understands that we are dust. He knows how weak we are. That doesn't mean he excuses sin. When we are deliberately, willfully sinning, that will be a block to us receiving from God. But when it's just a matter of a lack of understanding, or perhaps even something we are struggling with, God isn't going to look at us in our struggles and say, well, he's not overcoming in that, I'm not going to give him anything. That's not the heart of God, friends. And if you are a parent, you know that's not your heart towards the children, your children. That's not the heart of our God, friends. So there's no lack on the part of God when it comes to giving. No lack whatsoever. The lack is on our part. Are we in a place to receive from him? That is the question, isn't it? God is generous. He's willing to give us all that we need. But we need to be in a place to receive. And I just want to look at this passage. We're going to be in Mark 10 from now on. Really look at this passage on Bartimaeus, really, to see where Bartimaeus was. Because he was in just the right place to receive from God what he needed. I know in this context it's about him being blind, but it could be any context for you this morning. What do you need from God? Friends, God is able to provide it. He is willing to provide it. He is wanting to provide it. So let's go back to Mark chapter 10. Starts off there. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples, a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. What was he doing there? He was begging. He was looking for provision from men. But you see, all the provision that he was going to receive from anybody that walked by that road, apart from Jesus, was never going to meet the deepest need that this man had. It could give him some money to go out and get the next meal. But it was never, ever going to meet the deepest need of this man, which was his blindness. That was the root of all his problems. And only Jesus could meet his need. So if this man was seeking, and he was, looking for help from the roadside, but if that was his only desire in his life, he would never have got anywhere. This blindness would never have been dealt with. So as a warning to us, I suppose, where are we looking for the provision of our needs? If we are looking to anything or anybody else other than Christ, don't be surprised if your needs are never met. The deepest need I'm talking about here, what you really need. You see, God knows exactly what you need. We might think we know what we need, and we may know. But you see, the Lord sees deep into our hearts. He sees roots of problems, and he knows what you and I need. And it's him we have to come to. It's him we have to flee to. If we're going to have those needs met, if we're going to receive of his goodness and all the gifts that he has for us, everything he wants to give us, we have to look to him. And if Bartimaeus had stayed by that roadside and never got up from there, he would have remained in his blindness. He'd have remained looking for natural provision, if you like, for natural sources of comfort and all the rest of it, until his dying day. And he would never have been made well, made whole again. Well, the next thing I want to say is this. If you and I are going to receive from the Lord, we have to be like Bartimaeus, and we have to understand that we are lacking. You see, Bartimaeus, if you try to fool himself and think, well, I don't need to have my blindness restored, he would never have been made whole again. So I would say the most basic, most necessary characteristic you and I need to have if we're going to receive of the Lord is poverty of spirit. We need to understand that we are a very lacking people. Even when we've come to the Lord, we are a lacking people. We need his constant provision. We need to be receiving from him on a daily basis. We need to be coming to him constantly, daily, looking for our daily bread, our provision. And if there's any lack of that poverty of spirit in us, then we won't look to him because we think provision is in us or in someone else. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5, verse 3? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful thing to say. The kingdom of heaven, meaning all the resources of his kingdom, are there, excuse me, for you and I. But we have to be poor in spirit. Meaning we have to recognize our need. We have to recognize that I don't have it all. That only He can provide what is needed. So poverty of spirit, friends, absolutely essential. Absolutely essential. And even Jesus himself said on another occasion, I've got it written down somewhere. I haven't. Well, Jesus said, I think you have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, if we think we're right without Christ, then we can receive nothing from him. It's when we recognize our lack of righteousness and that we are sinners and we need salvation, it's then that we are in a good place. A place of poverty of spirit. A place recognizing our need. And then we can receive from him. So friends, the first thing, the first characteristic that you and I are going to need if we're going to constantly be receiving of Christ is that we need to be poor of spirit. It's a lifelong trait that we need. It's not something that I just need before I become saved and I'm saved and I have everything. That's a mistake some make. And they never get anywhere. They never get any progress with God. They never mature. We are constantly to recognize that we need Christ and all his provision. And therefore we need this trait in our lives, poverty of spirit. And then next, verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out. So the next thing is, his ears were open. His ears were open to what was happening around him. And it's important, isn't it, that our ears are open to what's happening, to what's going on, to what the Lord is saying, to where the Lord Jesus is and what he's about. We can't dismiss it. You see, Bartimaeus could have dismissed all that noise and think, I've got to get my provision for the day. I've got to get my money for the next meal. Forget all that noise. Forget what's going on over there. I've got to make sure I get what I need here today. If he'd been small-minded like that and not recognizing his real need, he wouldn't have received his sight. But his ears were open and he recognized something important was happening here. And then we see the next thing that he did. So vital if you and I are going to receive from Christ is he went direct to Christ. He didn't appeal to the man standing next to him. Or do you want to go and tell him, Jesus, that I need him? He called on Jesus himself. Isn't that the beauty of this faith that we have, friends? We haven't got to go through a priest. We haven't got to go through any man or woman. We go direct to the throne of grace. Direct to God himself. What a wonderful salvation we have. We can go direct to the King of Kings. And that's what he did. He went to him. He poured out his heart. God is waiting for the heart cry, friends. He's waiting for you and I to express to him what we need. And that's what Bartimaeus did. He went direct to Jesus. And what was his cry? It's a wonderful cry, isn't it? What did he say? Look at verse 47. Yes, again, 47. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. That title, first of all, is wonderful. Because it tells us something about Bartimaeus. And it tells us something that we need to have true about ourselves as well. That title, Son of David, is a messianic title. It occurs 17 times in the New Testament. It really is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So what Bartimaeus is saying, Jesus, I believe you are the Messiah that is to come. I believe that you are the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. I believe that all God has said about you in the Old Testament, you are fulfilling today. You see, we have to come to him believing who he is and what he says is true. If we doubt anything in this book, friends, it will shut you up and shut you off to many things. We have to believe that the word of God is above the word of men. And that's a tragedy today that many in the church will put the word of men above the word of God. Friends, the word of God stands above any other word. It stands sure in the heavens, eternal, and every jot and tittle will be fulfilled in this word. And that's what Bartimaeus was saying. Son of David, Lord, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies, I'm coming to you. I'm not going anywhere else. I'm coming to you because you are the fulfillment of the Word of God. You're the very Word of God itself. And so he went to Jesus. And friends, we've got to have that same belief and trust in the Word of God ourselves. If there's any doubting in your heart this morning that this is the very Word of God, repent of it, friends. Because it will shut you off to the heavens' resources. It will shut you off to what Jesus has to give you. And this is why we see so much poverty in the church today. So much lack in the church today. Because we will not elevate the Word of God above the word of men. And when that happens, friends, then there's so much that we are cut off from that God would give us. Because he wants to give us. That's his heart. That's his heart. Well, moving on. We then look at the cry. What was the cry? You see, Bartimaeus didn't go up to Jesus and say, give me my sight. I've been in this position for 40 years and I deserve my sight. There was no self-pity. There was no demanding of Jesus of anything. Friends, you and I are never and will never be in a position to demand anything of Christ. Do not try it. It's not going to get you anywhere. His cry was for mercy. His cry was for mercy. That's how we come to Christ. When we are saved. And that's how we come to him for the rest of our lives. We do not deserve anything, friends. But we have a God who is unbelievably merciful. Who delights in showing mercy. And that's how we need to approach him. And that's how Bartimaeus approached him. He knew he deserved nothing. He didn't deserve his sight. But he pleaded with God for his mercy, that he would receive his sight. Lord, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy upon me. I was thrilled in that last carol that we sung. So may we with willing feet ever seek thy mercy seat. That's where we need to be, friends, as a church, as a body of people, but as individuals as well, constantly seeking the mercy seat of Christ and not demanding anything because we don't deserve anything. It's mercy that we seek, and it's mercy we've got to look for from him. Just reminded as well of that passage, I think it's Luke 18, about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Remember, the Pharisee comes before the Lord and says, Lord, look at me. I'm amazing. I go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. I give to this charity and that charity, and that's the big religion of the day, charity, you know. It's the big religion of the day. It's what men and women are using to appease their consciences. How much they can give to this charity and that charity. And then we have the tax collector, not even lifting his head to heaven. He said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. That's the cry that Jesus loves. That's the cry that God wants to hear. He doesn't want to hear anything else about you and all your attributes and how great you are. They mean nothing to God. He's given them to you, yes. But you can't accomplish anything in the kingdom of God on your own with those attributes. And so he cast himself, the tax collector, on the mercy of God. And what did Jesus say? Which one of these went home justified? It was the tax collector, of course, who cast himself upon the mercy of God. Friends, let's make sure that throughout our lives, and as an assembly here, we don't demand of God anything. We cast ourselves upon his mercy, seeking for his grace, his favour. Because we come to him on good grounds then. Because God is a merciful God. And he wants to give us good things. This is the heart of God. And verse 48 then, moving on. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. See, he began to cry. And then the opposition arose. Yes, that can happen, can't it? An opposition can come from within and without, you know. We can have voices inside ourselves saying, what do you do? That's daft. That's silly. So it's a Welsh word, daft, I think. Do you use that in England? That's rather silly. More of a Surrey thing, isn't it? That's stupid. What are you calling on God for mercy? Get on with it and sort it out yourself. Deal with it yourself. Or go and see this person or that person. You know, we have the voices within that tell us. God can't do anything for you. God is unable to provide what you need. And then we could even have voices outside telling us, well-meaning ones often. We've been looking at Job recently. You know, well-meaning those three friends were. But even they may be telling us to be quiet. Be quiet. You see, friends, the enemy will do anything he can to stop you and I receiving of heaven's resources. Anything he can to stop us. He will sow doubt into your heart. He will cause those voices to rise up within you. And there's a sort of little bit of evidence here that the enemy was at work. Because what do we read? There was a sternness in this crowd. But that to me speaks of enemy activity. The enemy is so stern, isn't he? He will do anything he can. And they were sternly telling him, be quiet. This man doesn't want to speak to you. You're insignificant. You're nothing. You're a beggar. You're blind. Stay there where you're supposed to be. Well, friend, that's not our Christ. That's not our Saviour. He is concerned about you and I and every single person here today. No matter how insignificant you may think you are, the Lord Jesus will call you by name. He knew this man was Bartimaeus. I suspect almost everybody else there didn't know his name. But his name is recorded in Scripture for us. Because Jesus knew his name. This was no insignificant person to the Lord Jesus. Yes, he was a nobody in the eyes of the world. And nothing. Nothing to contribute. Because he was blind and a beggar. And yet this was a precious soul that Christ died for. This was the man that Jesus had come to earth for. To die for him. To rescue him from the wrath of God. To bring him to himself. And Jesus did not regard this man as insignificant. And friends, let me tell you this morning. I don't care what anybody else thinks of you or me. The Lord Jesus Christ does not consider you insignificant. He wants to meet with you. He wants to provide all his resources that you need. He wants to give them to you. So don't let any voice tell you otherwise. Don't let any voice within or without tell you not to go to the Lord Jesus, or after you've begun crying, to stop crying out to him. The Lord Jesus loves the heart cry. He wants to hear you cry to him. And if you're not in a habit of going to him daily, looking to him, crying out to him, make a habit of it. Get before him. Get in your closet, as it says. Close the door behind you. Make a noise. Call on him. Don't be embarrassed. Okay, don't wake the neighbours up, perhaps. But certainly, call on the Lord. Tell him what you need. Express to him. He wants to hear these things. He is your heavenly Father. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear your voice. Don't be put off by thinking it's a bit strange. Oh, should I really be doing this? I'm from Surrey. I'm from Guildford. We don't do that sort of thing in Guildford. Friends, put it behind you. You're a son and a daughter of God. And he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. And look what happened when he did cry out. Jesus stopped. Verse 49. Jesus made time for him. Jesus will always make time for you and me, friends. He'll never be too busy. He'll never say, oh, hang on a second, I'm dealing with Brexit. The Lord is big enough to deal with Brexit and with your problem and my problem. He's big enough. Don't limit God, friends. The Lord Jesus will stop. He will give you his attention. Isn't that wonderful? You will never get the attention of the Queen of England. And you may find it difficult to get the attention of the boss at work. or your husband or your wife, if they're busy. But you'll always be able to get the attention of Christ. He will always be available. We just need to come to him. Tell him we need his help. We need his mercy. We want his help. He wants to hear it from our lips. He wants our hearts to express this to him. Because when we express it, he will stop. He'll give us his attention. He will draw near. And Bartimaeus drew near. It says in verse 49, call him here. Isn't that wonderful? Call him here. The Lord Jesus bids us come to him. He doesn't want us to stand afar off. Whether you're a young Christian this morning or one that's been a Christian for many years, the Lord wants you and I to come near. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants us to spend time. He wants us to express to him something of our heart's desire and what we need. And Jesus bid him come. And the next thing we read is that Bartimaeus had to get rid of something. He threw aside his cloak. He jumped up and came to Jesus. There's no hesitancy here. Let's not be hesitant, friends, in coming to the Lord. Let's not put off what we know the Lord is wanting from us. And he had to throw aside his cloak. Now, this cloak was very dear to him. It was the very thing that he would sleep in. The very thing that would keep him warm. It was probably the most precious thing that he had. And yet he was willing to put it aside. Now, friends, I want to ask you and myself the question. Is there anything that is too precious in our lives that stops us coming to Christ? Because there can be. There can be things in our life, things in our heart that need to be dealt with, that we are giving too much devotion to. And we need to be careful that they don't stop us coming to Christ. And where necessary, we need to cast them off. Put them to the side. Put them to the side. You see, Bartimaeus would have come back to that cloak and put it back on. See, the Lord knows what we need in the physical, material sense. But if there are things that are stopping us coming to him initially, we need to get rid of them. Put them aside. He may bring us back to them. You might be gifted in a certain area. A wonderfully talented musician or orator or anything else. But if we are just looking to those gifts and not looking to Christ, they will be a hindrance. And how tragic it is, I've heard this said by so many people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if so-and-so became a Christian? He's such a talented so-and-so. Talented. Friend, all the talent in the world doesn't mean anything to Christ. He wants your heart. He wants you. He may then choose to use your talent and take it back up and use it. But let's be looking to him. Let's be prepared to put the cloak off, to come to him first. That's the initial and most important thing. That we come to him first. Then we may take the cloak back again if he so instructs us. So let's make sure, friends, we don't delay. We don't delay in coming to him. We don't hesitate. We don't put it off. And then go back to verse 3. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And he called Jesus Rabboni. Rabboni. That's a wonderful word. I think it's used that often in scripture. But it means my master, chief, or prince. And to me it speaks of a heart of submission. Here was a man who was submitted to Christ. A heart that was submitted to the Saviour. And that is a vital position we need to be in. If we are going to receive of the resources of heaven, we need to be in a place of submissiveness. That means we need to be coming to him, recognizing that he is Lord. And we need to submit to his every word and his will. And never exert or trying to elevate our will or our a word even above what God is saying and doing. We need to submit to him. It's a position of great humility as well, isn't it? A place of submissiveness is a place of humility. And that's a vital position that we need to take if we're to receive from God. If we're to receive of salvation,
We can't receive salvation if we are proud in our hearts and think we don't need anything. That verse in James says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Do you want to receive grace? We need grace to be saved. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. We need it. We need it not just for salvation, but for the whole of our Christian lives. We need grace. But God gives grace to the humble. And if we don't come to him as Bartimaeus did, in humility, we will not be able to receive of the good things God has for us. So let's watch our hearts, friends. Let's make sure that we are submitting to the will of God and the word of God. And when we do that, we will be in the right position to come to him and to receive from him. Because God is wanting to give grace. That is the heart of God for every child of his. To give us his grace, to give us his provision. But we need to come to him on his terms and in the right way. God isn't going to make an exception for me or for you. Because I may be talented in a certain area, or I might have something to offer to God, I think. He isn't going to make that exception. We need to come to him as Bartimaeus did. And then he comes to him and he asks him, I want to receive myself. Well, Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? You see, at the right time, we can make our request. Let's be careful we don't rush into the presence of God and say, Lord, I want this. I need this. Of course, there's when we're in anguish and when we are asking God questions, there's nothing wrong in doing that. But when we are sort of demanding, oh, I want this now, Lord. I need this now. Well, God looks at the heart. He knows how we are saying things. I know. But we've got to be careful that we make our requests in a way, in a sense, at the right time, in the right way. And what was moving Bartimaeus here? It was faith. Your faith has made you well, Jesus said. You see, the request for sight to be regained was prompted by faith in the heart of Bartimaeus. And faith is that inner conviction that God the Holy Spirit gives us. It is that assurance of things hoped for, as we read in Hebrews. It is not some wishful thinking. And it's something we need to learn in our day. There's so much wrong teaching out on this. We need to learn to recognize where faith is rising, where conviction and assurance is given by God. And then we can ask. And do you know what, friends? We can ask with a confidence. Oh God, give me my sight back. Because God has put that cry there. He's given us faith for it. And we can ask with a certainty. Isn't that wonderful? Now, of course, there are times when God hasn't given the faith. And we can sort of ask in a sort of interrogatory way of what the word is. We can ask him, Lord, can I have this? Please, can you grant this to me? That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But when faith is given, there's an assurance. There's a conviction. Lord, I want to receive my sight back. And God gave it him because of the faith that he saw there. So there's a right time to ask, friends. And when we are sensing something of a liberty really in our spirits. This is why it's so good to pray corporately. Because when we are praying corporately, we can sense in one another how the Lord is leading, where faith is arising. And we can have a liberty to ask for something. And you know, God may even give a decree about something. And that's even wonderful when God decrees something, whether it's decreeing a healing, decreeing whatever. God is able to do that, friends. So it's good that we learn a sensitivity in this area. And sensitivity in this area will only come through practice. Through spending time with God. Through giving him time. Spending time in prayer. Time in corporate prayer as well. It's then that we learn a sensitivity. So we need a sensitivity. We also need a boldness to come before the throne of grace. And we often get these two things out of proportion, don't we? Because some of us are a bit more bolder than others. But often, it's a natural boldness. And it's not good, and it doesn't get us anywhere. We need a boldness that is born out of the Spirit. Where we can boldly approach the throne of grace and say, Lord, I want to receive my sight. Please, grant it me. And we need to understand and grow in this area so we have that right balance of a sensitivity and a boldness. Well, just finishing, really. And we're going to look at, let's look to Luke 18. Because this is the parallel passage in Luke. Some would say it's perhaps not the same blind man, because Mark 10 talks about Jesus coming to Jericho and as he was leaving Jericho. But Luke 18 in verse 35 says, as Jesus was approaching Jericho. It doesn't actually name Bartimaeus in this passage. My little subtitle has Bartimaeus, and it may be. But it does say Jesus was approaching Jericho. And there was a blind man that he met. And that was touched and healed. But I really want to look at the last part of this. It picks up one of those two of these things in Mark. But it picks up a bit more here, I believe. Luke chapter 18, verse 43. Immediately he regained his sight and began following him. Friends, the consequences of receiving from Christ what he wants to give you is that we have a greater passion for him, a greater desire to follow him, a greater desire to put him first and go on pursuing him and all that he has for us. To keep on asking, it says. To keep on seeking. To keep on knocking. You see, this response that Jesus gave and gave Bartimaeus, this blind man in this passage, the sight that he required and requested, was that he followed him. Isn't that what happens when God gives us something? I hope that's your heart, friend, because I want to follow him even more. Because in God we have someone who is so good, so gracious, so generous, so wonderful, that he would give me anything and give you anything when we deserve nothing. But that's the heart of God. And you know what? If God was only to give me salvation, well, wouldn't that be enough to follow him the rest of my days? If he gave me nothing else, that would be enough to follow him the rest of my days. But you know what? God gives much more. He wants to go on pouring out good things into our lives. And I'm talking corporately as well here. God has good things to give us corporately. Good things to give us corporately. So he began following him and he was glorifying God. You see, one of the evidences that something is of God is that God is glorified. Not man. Not man. Not you or I. This was of God from first to last. This was of the mercy of God that Bartimaeus received his sight. Nothing to do with Bartimaeus. He couldn't have worked this up in a million years. He could never have received this by staying at the side of the road. This was the mercy of God. This was the grace of God. This was the power of God. And friends, that's what happens when God gives us things, when God does things in our lives. God is glorified. God is glorified. And isn't that what we want in our day? In a day when God is so demeaned and so dishonored in our culture, in our society, we want God to be honored again. We want God to be doing things in our lives so that he can gain the glory and the honor. But we need to be in the right position so that we can receive these things. So God is glorified. And they gave praise to God. The people saw it and they gave praise to God. People will see and they will give praise to God. They will give praise to what God has done. And you and I will have a wonderful testimony. A testimony of what God has done and what God is doing. Don't rest on a past testimony, as wonderful as they are, what God has done in the past. God wants to do things today. He wants to meet with you today. He wants to provide for you today. He wants you to be looking to him today. Calling upon him, crying out to him. Say, Lord, I need this. Please grant it. Be merciful, Lord. I need your help. I need all that you can give. That's the cry God longs to hear from his children. He longs to hear it. So my question is to you, are we calling upon him? Are we looking to him? Are we coming to him in a right spirit? Place of submissiveness? Are we going on crying to him? If God has put something in your heart to cry about, don't stop crying out for it, friends. We cry out for the salvation of loved ones. We know that's in line with the will of God. God desires no one to perish. So go on crying out for them. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't give up. And do you know what? The more we look to God in that way, something wonderful happens. God encourages us. He gives us his strength. He gives us his grace. We wouldn't find it anywhere else. But as we go on, even if you don't feel like it, oh, I don't really feel like doing this today. I don't feel like praying today and asking God for this or coming before God and just worshipping him. Friends, our whole demeanor changes when we come into his presence. Even if we don't, in a sense, feel the presence of God to start with, let's come to him. Let's determine in our hearts, I am going to get before the Lord and I'm going to call on him and I'm going to cry out to him. And you know what? If you do, God will change things in your life and in others as well. Let's pray.